J-Lo and A-Rod.
Yeah.
Wow.
Called it quits.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't even hear about that until you mentioned it yesterday when we were on Stereo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not wholly surprised by it because as we discussed on Stereo, which by the way, everyone, we are on Stereo every Friday at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But whenever we were talking about it yesterday, like they both do seem like kind of people with really big egos.
Right.
And I don't see how two people with egos that big could be together for as long as they were.
I was reading that the reason
for
the breakup, the tea is
give it
that A-Rod can't stop texting chicks. Oh. He doesn't physically cheat, but he's one of those guys that likes to like get his ego stroked by sexting with a bunch of.
Well, I think that that's either Kate Hudson or Cameron Diaz, one of the two. They broke up because he cheated. Like, I think he's like he's one of those. He's kind of like a serial cheater.
Yeah. Ugh. Wow. That's a real thing. That I wonder if that stems from like a narcissistic place. Like that's a real, like somebody who I had a boyfriend like that. Like
that needs constant validation.
Constant validation. Yeah. And that's just, I don't know. If you're a strong woman, that's just not who you are. Yeah. I know that for me, I could never be with somebody who needed their ego stroked constantly.
Yeah. I'm not a fucking cheerleader.
No, so. No.
I wonder if he has ugly duckling. You know, I wonder if he was maybe not as popular in school, because I see that a lot with people who like glowed up and like didn't get attention whenever they were younger. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now you're A-Rod and now you're like.
But he's been A-Rod for a long time. And I'm like, he's older now. I see that ugly duckling thing is like in your 20s or 30s where you're trying to make up for being bullied in high school or whatever. But like as an adult, I need you to do the work and get over that.
Because go to therapy maybe one time. That'd be great.
I think that there's another possibility at play here too, because if he's you're like you said, he's been A-Rod for a long time. Anybody that's an athlete like that, even in high school, you're fucking balling. I think that there's something that happens when you get that like early fame or that early stroke that you're like, I can't not have it. We have a friend, Christina and I do, who is a guitar player for a really famous rocker girl.
Yes.
And she is apparently, but she got famous seriously early, has been famous, still super famous, and apparently is fucking impossible. Like fucking possible. Like she expects everything to just be handed to her. She's just that, but that's what she's become accustomed to.
Well, you know how I feel about our hero worship of sports players.
Well, she's a singer.
Well, so, I mean, also musicians, but like that thing is real as well. Like you have the ugly duckling syndrome, and then on the other side of that coin, you have the people who were really popular in high school, probably had a lot of girls after them or love interests after them in high school.
Yeah.
And then went on to be successful. And we have a tendency to just hand things to people who are good at sports. And so you have that expectation, you have that entitlement, and you're used to always being sought after. And so if that slows down at all, I'm sure you're always seeking it, you know, so.
But I'm sorry, honey, you are with J-Lo.
Yeah, well, who, it doesn't you matter
won
who
the
you're with.
Motherfucking lottery. But that is a great point, Christina, or Keegan. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right, Beyonce's been cheated on.
Right.
And I'm Halle Berry's been cheated on. Uma J-Lo? Thurman's been cheated
How
on.
How dare you, honestly. You know. But that's the thing. I guess that, you know, it's not about who you are, how good looking you are.
No, it's not about you. It's about that person.
It's girl.
Totally about that person.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, having, you know, like I'm no saint either. I've been on both sides of that. I've been the angel and the devil. Mm-hmm. And it is never about that other person. It's all about the demons that person is trying to work out.
Yeah, themselves. I think it's very rare that people cheat to get back at who they're with. I think it happens, but I think it's far more rare, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a myriad of reasons that it could be, whether it be for validation, for comfort, you know, they're saying like, you know, it's always the statistic or the thought that men are always cheating, but it turns out like men and women cheat at equal levels.
Of course.
They just do it for different reasons.
That's true. I dated a guy who he cheated on me, so I cheated on him out of retaliation.
Yeah.
And guess what? We're not together anymore.
Right.
I can't believe it didn't work out. That was a very short-lived relationship.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things, too, that you're like, this will even the score and we'll all be fine. But no, it doesn't.
No.
Neither side of that felt good.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, my gosh.
You know?
I cheated out of loneliness, out of not feeling emotionally cared for or supported. Turns out that solution of cheating did not work.
It didn't
work.
Did it not help things?
It did not help things at all.
So surprised you didn't feel better about yourself after that.
Breaking up would have been the correct way to go about if you are not feeling emotionally supported by your partner or having a conversation.
Right. Yeah.
Communicate. You guys are talking wild. Get out of here.
Okay. Woo. That was a nice little heady conversation.
Yeah, good morning, huh?
Yeah.
Hi.
This is My Worst Date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
And we do have some new patrons getting into it early in the episode.
Man, look at us. We're on it.
We're almost professional podcasters.
Totally. I mean, we have to do taxes, I would say that.
I want to reach out to all our one stars and be like, hey, get back to us. We're professionals now. Yeah, I mean, so.
Tune in to our latest episode.
Dr. TJ Fossil, I'm looking at you.
Oh, man.
Still my favorite review. I'm not going to lie. That review is like, listen, I'm actually proud of all the things you said you didn't like. So
don't leave us one star reviews. But if you are going to, please make them interesting. Because,
stellar.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I at least want to be entertained if I'm going to have to read a one star review. Okay.
Look, I shared that shit. I was like, everybody needs to see how good we are.
Jesus. that really is saying something because it's true. Whenever you put yourself out there on the internet, especially, you can get a million like positive reviews and people saying nice things.
Yep.
And the second someone says something negative, it lives and just marinates in your brain forever. And this did not for me. I texted it to you guys and I was just like, this is actually kind of hilarious.
Right.
Like, I'm not even mad or upset or like thinking like, oh, I want them to like me, which is saying a lot.
That is
for my personality.
Yeah.
You know, so
I legitimately was like, this is Army Hammer. Because it was directly after the Army Hammer episode. I'm like, listen, Army.
And they're like, you're being too hard on celebrities. And I'm like, I think they're crying into their millions.
Yeah, they're completely fine.
Wiping their eyes with those $100 bills. Yeah. I think they're okay.
I want to give a shout out to Karen Martinez for joining us on Patreon.
Hey, Karen.
Welcome. We are so excited to have you.
Dude, she sent a note too, which I want to shout out. First of all, nicest note I've ever read. But I actually thought about it. She's like, I've caught up on all your episodes and I'm joining for the extra content. And I was like, we have done a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
I feel like I listen to a lot of podcasts. Right now I'm binging The Bald and the Beautiful, which I want to shout out.
Yeah.
I fucking love Trixie Mattel so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, you like feel like you get to know the people.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Even after like 20 episodes or so, you're like.
Well, and the thing is, you know, it's those parasocial relationships, which are a little strange. But the truth of the matter is, you do know us. Like listeners, it's like you do know us. Like we were just talking about, and let us know if this is something that you want to see either on Patreon or elsewhere. We were talking about doing a truth or drink video where we either, you know, you can write in your questions for us and we either have to answer the question or take a shot. Let us know if that's something that you all want to see because we would love to do it for you now that we're back to, you know, recording in person.
We're going to get shot.
Yeah.
But we were discussing though, like, what could you even ask us that we haven't already talked about on the podcast? Like, I feel like everyone does know us so well after having so many episodes. Like, are there questions that you have that we have not answered yet? And if so, we would love to get those. I would love to hear them.
Yeah. I'm game. I'm an open book, I think. I don't know. I feel like there's some stuff I've probably like over this past year or God, 3 years that we've been doing this.
Yeah.
Haven't really like.
There are things I have not said on this podcast.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest.
That I have
I'm
held
thinking
back.
Of a dirty shame receipt right now in my head, and I'm gonna keep that one.
Well, you got an out. You can just take a shot. You know what I mean?
There you go.
And I will.
Take a shot. But you got to be selective about what you take shots on. Because it's like, is this shot worthy? Because we are all over 30 now and taking shots. How many shots before you want to die tomorrow?
Oh, like, exactly. So
I tell
crunchy.
You, I literally, we have our friend Mackenzie, her parents, who we freaking love.
Oh, yeah.
Nettie and John.
Hi, shout out.
Listen, they... When they come to town, but like pre-COVID, you want to talk about shots. I'm like, honey, I am 42. I can't be taking shots like that. And
but
I'm
they're
like,
in like their late 50s.
I know.
Yeah.
How?
Do you regain this?
Do you get like a new set
I think
of skills
the key
after
is
50?
The key is to never stop. Like, I think that is the key is you got to keep it up because like if you let it go at all, because I have drank consistently through the pandemic. Like,
oh God, quarantine's been terrible.
It's been terrible. Yeah. I took short breaks, but for the most part, I've been drinking very consistently. However, what I haven't been doing, except for in the very beginning of the pandemic, is taking shots. So if we went back to like drinking hard like that, like I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, like my baby brother came over for Eric's birthday on Wednesday, and we decided it would be a good idea to make a drinking game out of Dr. Mario.
Oh.
Things devolved. Very quickly after that.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
Oh no. Drinking games. That's for the youngs.
Exactly. Now, and none of us are young. So yeah, it was
only in my name. Ooh. Only in my name.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh jeez, man.
Oh my gosh.
Well, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
God, I don't know. I feel like I have been so out of the loop as far as like I wish there was a third royal brother that we could fuck, marry, kill, but...
I have a weird idea. It will give away my tainted love story once again.
Okay.
But we've had a very eat the rich, like on our mind for a while. Mm-hmm. And it puts me in the mind of something that I think is very outdated, which is things like Gucci, Louis Vuitton, you know, Christian Louboutin, things like that. Big high-end designers. Mm-hmm. What do you think about doing like high-end designers? Like
you're going to talk about.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Versace.
All right. Yeah.
Nope. I'm not.
Oh, really?
That's what I thought too. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
oh, exciting. Okay. I can do this. I can do this with the disclaimer of I don't think I've ever owned anything that was like a high-end designer. Like I don't think I've ever owned
like Valentino Sunnies, things like that. Tom Ford. Oh, I love Tom Ford.
The only Tom Ford I've ever had it was gifted to me by our friend who works for Tom Ford.
Oh, sure.
That's the only Tom Ford I've ever had. I mean, I've had high-end like makeup.
Yeah.
But I've never had like high-end brands. Have I looked at, did I watch, you know, Real Housewives, see all those women with Christian Louis Vuittons and be like, I'm going to just see. Did I Google it? Yes, I did. Did I find some shoes that I thought were gorgeous? Yes, I did.
Oh, totally.
Will I pay $1,000 for a pair of shoes? No.
Yeah, I have to say that, like, out of this group, like, I am the least like fashion. I have said on this podcast before that I hope I'm alive in the future when we all have to wear the same uniform.
I hate that so much.
I am all for it. I mean, I grew up, you know, going to a school that made us wear uniforms and I absolutely loved it. I love
Oh God, you're such not a being, Steve Jobs. You're like, I just want a black turtleneck every day.
I love not thinking about clothes. Clothes stress me out. Trying to like pick out what to wear. I've never
this
felt
is what
like
you have
I
us
have.
For.
I
this is what
love
you have us for.
Clothes.
Me but too.
Personally, like I am that person that if I could go and you can help me with this. If I could go like simple black, white, gray, like
you want a capsule wardrobe.
Yes.
And I can help you with that for sure.
Super just tailored.
Yep.
Yeah.
I can help you with this.
They're also really good. What was her name? It's Bethany something on YouTube. And she like has a fashion channel and she has like whole not episodes, videos. She has whole videos talking about like how to create like the pieces that you need to create. Yeah, just sure. Like these are the basics that you can like mix and match, and like you don't need a billion items.
Right.
You know, minimalize.
But see, it's because I do like, I like that tailored shapelessness or whatever, but I don't have a body where those kind of items look good on. You know what I mean?
You and I both have an hourglass figure,
yeah.
Which is harder if you're trying to go for like a runway look, because those people don't have, they're just like sticks, right?
Right. Yeah.
And they're hangers that walk.
Yeah.
Because it's just the way that it is what it is, whatever. But the point is that it's important to find clothes that fit, match, and which is, there was what's the show that used to be on?
What Not to Wear?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was the thing I loved about that show, mm-hmm. is that they were like, you have this body and these are the things that look good on this body.
Right.
Don't try to emulate something that doesn't exist.
And I think that that's what my disappointment is.
That's right.
Because like what I
do the same thing.
What I love in my head.
Yes.
Doesn't
yes.
actually look good yeah, on my
I
body.
I think everybody same. Has to come to that conclusion. Like, I love those like paper bag pants, oh. right? That like drawstring at yes. the waist.
Yeah.
They don't look good on me. They and I've tried. Do.
You're wrong. I've seen you in them and they look great on you.
Thank you. But I've like looked at myself in the mirror and I'm like, why don't I look like I want to look? Like, why don't I look like I think I should look in my head?
Right.
You know? I saw a TikTok with a girl that ordered like these white leather pants online or something.
That's never.
And so she did a TikTok of it. She's like, first of all, they came up to like here.
Oh,
like, they were like shushed.
Oh.
It was...
She had Empire waist leather pants.
And she had this hilarious like English accent. She's like, who are these pants made for? Like, she's just going off on it. But just the way that it laid on her, I could not stop
but that's
laughing.
Real life,
I, but
girl.
That's real life.
But one of my favorite things to do is to go into somebody's personal current wardrobe mm-hmm. and reimagine what they already currently have. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think that there's a lot of people who have a lot of like stuff in their wardrobe that they haven't worn for years because they don't know how to put it together with the other things they have. And I want to do that. Let's do it.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. What I would love to do is there's things that are hanging up in my closet right now. I can tell you, I have not pulled anything mm-hmm. from it in forever. It doesn't fit. It doesn't look good. And yet I'm still full out. Like mm-hmm. I need a complete wardrobe makeover.
Wait, party's at your house tonight. We're coming over and we are wardrobe cleansing.
I have to say, I have been in such a spring cleaning mood this morning. I was like going through my makeup and I was like, this is dried out, throw it away. This yep. I don't need. I haven't worn this in a long time. You know, like, so I'm definitely there. Have you guys seen the TikTok videos of women trying on those viral workout pants that are supposed to make your butt look really good? Like Lizzo wore them.
Oh, no.
And they're like, I don't know
they're cinched between the butt cheeks. Yeah,
they've got butt cheek cinching, you know, and then also they kind of look like they're made from the same material as those like bubble shirts.
Yes. I totally know what you're talking about.
And
yes.
It has been so fun to watch because they're like, my butt looks fucking amazing. And like TikTok, everybody's like, oh, it looks great. And then you watch other people like try them on with like different body types. And I was like, oh,
that's what they actually look like.
They're not miracle pants that are gonna like make your ass. But like, do I want to buy them and find out? Like kind of do.
I'm not ready to disappoint myself in that way yet. This year's been hard enough. I don't need that extra level of disappointment. So for Fuck, Marry, Kill,
yeah,
what do you guys think?
I am going to go and shock you guys.
Okay.
Because
come in.
I am actually going to pick, I think I want to pick Betsy Johnson.
That's amazing. Great.
Because like,
love Betsy Johnson.
I am a white, gray, black person. And in my
head. And
that's
the opposite.
And it is the polar opposite. Where mm-hmm. like, there have been times in my life where I'm like, why am I not like tattooed, sleeved, like all of that Betsy Johnson, like living my life loud, because I tend to be like so closed off, conservative, quiet, that kind of thing, which is shocking, I know, for this podcast or whatever. But yeah, in my head, sometimes I wish I was more of a Betsy Johnson.
Oh God,
kind of girl.
I fucking love Betsy Johnson. She covers everything in rhinestones and glitter, and I'm just like,
it's the gamut,
God,
right?
I love it. This is fun. You know, Yeah, I think I'm going to go, just because of my earlier Googling this year, I'm going to go with Christian Louboutin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is really hard for me. This is like, I'm not going to lie, like for me, somebody who really enjoys fashion, mm-hmm. this is like picking my favorite child.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I have a lot of favorites. I think I'm going to go with Tom Ford, though. That keeps sticking out in my head. I love his aesthetic. I love what he does. Accessories across the board. Like all of it.
Okay. Whew. Well, I think I'm actually going to marry Betsy Johnson. Mm. I think I'm going to marry her because I'm like, I feel like this is fun. You know, I feel like she's one of those people who really encapsulates that like age is just a number. How old you feel, because she has been the same forever and just so unapologetically herself. And I feel like that energy would be really inspiring to be around. Like I need that. I need somebody in my life who's going to make
who's
me feel
like who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Who are you doing this for? Why do you care? Yeah.
Doing cartwheels down the runway.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to marry her. I think it'd be good for my mental health. And I also think it'd be very fun. I think we're going to have a very fun life together.
Yeah, she strikes me as the spontaneous type who's like, hey, let's go to Palm Springs today. And you're like, all right.
And she's got the money to do it too. She's going to take me in her bubblegum pink private jet, you know. This is kind of hard, okay, because there's something about Christian Louboutin that I feel like,
I mean, that stiletto.
I feel like there's like a dominatrix situation happening.
Yes.
Right?
I'm
not either. So that's how I feel like sex, it feels
it's like
gonna
sex
be,
dungeon energy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like sex is going to be risky, right? Like it's going to be like, we're going into a sex dungeon. There's a lot of pleather happening.
Banana.
You know? Exactly. There are whips and chains.
There's those white leather pants.
And okay, you know what? And for white leather pants. For that reason, actually, yeah. I'm going to fuck it. Yeah. For real. Because I'm just like, this will be fun. Like, I don't know if this seems like somebody who might boil your bunny later, but like it'll be a good time while it's happening. Like this is definitely Fatal Attraction fucking the elevator energy. So yeah, I'm gonna go with that. And then I actually do really like Tom Ford. You know, I have some makeup that's way too expensive, but there are good products and I enjoy Tom Ford, but I think of the three, it's just the least exciting to me.
It's just not getting you. He's a library. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he gives me library energy, but
if you want a calm,
if
you want a calm marriage, like if you want one where it's just like, we are going to have a lot of like leather and whiskey, it's whiskey and red wine.
That's
marriage.
It's my dream come true. Yeah, I am marrying Tom Ford for sure.
I'm having a tough time because I think that Tom Ford is actually, I picked Betsy Johnson. I want to be, like, have that energy. I don't. And sometimes it stresses me out. Mm. People that are like that, like, fuck what society thinks. Sometimes I'm like, no, but
we still have to operate with that. So could you scale
it back? Crazy enough for a couple. I don't need that extra.
No, I feel like, Cassie, if you and Betsy Johnson got married, it would be chaotic.
We can't.
Like, chaos.
We can't. We cannot get married.
Yeah,
we would, like, one up each other and be like,
all of a sudden you're jumping out of a plane and I'm like, how did we get here? You know what I mean?
Everyone's uncomfortable around us. Yes. Everyone's like, I really love Betsy and Cassie. I just can't be around them together.
They're so loud. I just can't do it.
So yeah, I actually think that Tom Ford is the correct marriage for me. Like a rather like subdued,
very
whiskey and library.
You're gonna have good conversations too. He seems very intelligent.
Yeah. Your house is gonna smell amazing.
Sandalwood.
Yes. All the sandalwood. All of the sandalwood. Mm.
You're just burning leather and tobacco candles, you know?
God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. Yes. And dude, I mean, the best glasses.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So marrying Tom Ford. And then, I'm like, do I want to fuck Betsy or do I want to fuck
Betsy?
Louboutin
would also be fun, but in a completely different way. Yeah. Like, these are very different nights you're about to have.
Yeah. One is going to have probably like whipped cream and like strawberries, and one is not. And I won't. Don't think I can do whipped cream.
No, I know like what it. You're doing for your sure.
I mean, you can. I know. I don't have to say anything. Everybody knows what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think I have to fuck Louboutin too. Mm-hmm. I really do.
It's the right choice. I really do feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Cass?
Yeah, I this is probably none of this is going to be shocking. I'm going to marry Tom Ford. Mm-hmm. Sign me up for the sandalwood tobacco scented candles. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping that someday in our future he starts smoking a pipe. I feel like is a real.
He's going to have a cravat or whatever that thing like that neck.
And he's sexy.
Yeah,
maybe hot take, but I think he's so sexy.
No, I don't think it's a hot take. I think he's pretty hot.
Yeah. And yeah, you gotta fuck Louboutin. It's the sexiest thing in there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It is.
Oh yeah, you might get hurt, but it's gonna be good. Yeah.
It's sex on heels. It's
Red Shoe Diary.
Yeah, it's gonna be. Gonna be a good night.
I would say, like, I would like. I'm not big on labels or like any of that. Like, really, I'm not big on owning it. I like looking at it, but I don't feel like I need to own like a label. But I would say I would like. One time in my life to own a pair of red bottoms.
Yeah.
You know, just one pair.
I think it's a fun goal. Yeah. I don't think it's like, I don't want a closet full, but you're right. Like one nice pair maybe in my life. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, but it's crazy though, the difference between like, I have tried on, like just been bored and gone into like, you know, the level of the mall that you're not. That we are not supposed to be on.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's the pretty woman level when you walk in, they're like, oh, they're like, okay. Yeah, you don't belong
but
here.
But you touch and you can feel the clothes and you feel it's quality. The difference.
There
it's
is a difference.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quality.
Yeah, so.
I am a big fan of Betsy Johnson. I did hair for her Fashion Week. I've met her. She's a fucking darling doll. So to say I want to kill her is a brutality.
We're going to friend her.
Yeah, you got to friend her.
Oh, my God. Would she be the best in the friend group?
Oh, the best.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't want to go to her house because I have a feeling it's decorated with a bunch of doll heads that have been ripped off.
It's weird.
Like, it's weird.
It's going to be weird. I'm not saying we're going to be married forever, but we're going to have a good time.
Your house is
going to
be
crazy. And
we're going to
end it amicably.
How do you dust a house that is Betsy Johnson?
You hire someone.
Well, true.
Hire someone. Hey. You know, this is funny because 2 nights ago, I was drinking White Claws. I drank like, not even that many, which is neither here nor there. But anyway, I got like White Claw tipsy and then started like ranting about income inequality.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you're in your 30s. Like these are the conversations that you have.
Yep.
And then the next day I woke up and I like looked at my phone and I was like, oh, I ordered a Black Panther party t-shirt last night. So that'll be arriving in the mail any day.
Oh my God. Dude, drunk purchases are a thing.
They're great. They're fun.
I told you, Eric and I got drunk a few months back or whatever and woke up the next day. He had to try to cancel like an entire like
podcast.
Apparently podcast. Yeah. Apparently we had talked and decided that having a podcast, he and I together, would be a great idea.
Oh,
and then we woke
no.
up the next day like,
No.
Oh, no.
Let's not.
No.
Oh, man. That's amazing.
So he's like canceling a microphone and like all this shit.
Those are some of my favorite posts in Drinkarinos, in the Drinkarinos group, is people sharing like, I forgot I bought this last night. And it's always like the wildest shit. And sometimes it's like kind of expensive. Like they'll be like, I bought a whole new dining set last night on Amazon.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no. Oh, well, you guys want to take 5 and we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Cool. And we're back. All right. Kick it off, Cassie. I know you're excited. I can see it in your face.
I got a story that we had sent to us and it is, it's wild.
Primo.
I can't wait.
Oh, nice.
Listening to the bad hygiene debate about kissing versus blowjobs brought this memory to mind. I was dating an old friend from college and we decided to move in together. I knew he was messy, but he told me he would stay on top of cleaning when he moved in.
Listen, that stuff is in you. Like, I feel like you have to work hard to break those habits.
And there's always like little habits. Like, I know Eric gets sometimes like irritated by like, I have a bobby pin problems.
Oh, me too.
Bobby pins yes. are around the house mm-hmm. and everywhere. Also my hair is everywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He, you know those little plastic things that you floss with?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He'll leave those out and it makes me.
Why?
I don't like that.
A little crazy because yeah. I'm like, Chris your is, tooth detritus is on ever. Our end table mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. now.
Chris. Your gum crumbs.
Does that. Gum crumbs. Dylan. Chris does that on occasion. He's pretty good about doing it. But the one that drives me crazy is his fucking the Q-tips.
No,
you're a minute from the trash can.
Everybody's got that one thing that you're like, you know what? It's on the cons list, but the pros list is so high that it's fine, okay. But it's still.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone has eccentricities. Everybody. Yes.
He's actually been a lot better at it lately. I may have brought it up a couple times. May or may not have. We were living together for a while and things started to get gross. I noticed he didn't brush his teeth ever. To make it disgusting, he chews even when he is sleeping.
No. What? How?
What?
He's going to die by choking on chew.
Can't.
Dude, gross. I think that is, like, you can overlook, like, a lot of things. No, but not you, that. Cassie, no. Oh. That has got to be the worst habit for someone to have with you. Mm. You're getting hot right now.
Mm-hmm. I am. I actually am feeling a little ill.
No, look, I feel like when we had the kissing versus blowjob conversation, even kissing, like, if somebody's mouth is, like, gutter mouth like that. Like I can't do it. Like, do what you do.
Sewer mouth. Do what I don't you know what do. You're fucking talking about.
Yeah. That's, have whatever habits you have, but I'm gonna need you to brush your teeth before you stick your tongue in my mouth.
Oh my God.
We can't talk about that anymore.
Oh God, I know.
I ignored it for a while just to be nice, but it eventually grossed me out so much I couldn't even kiss him. So that's the gross mouth part. One day early on, we were getting frisky and I went down on him. The first thing I noticed that I tasted myself on him. I asked if he normally washes up after sex and he replied, of course. Well, we hadn't had sex in well over a week. He lied about his after sex cleanup and also hadn't showered in this time between.
Oh, no.
Dude, I had a roommate in my 20s. It was a dude who wouldn't wash his feet, which I know was another conversation that we had on the Facebook group. Honey, the bottoms of his foot, shaking. I'm like, dude was like a hobbit or something. They were black, completely. He's also the one that left the half-eaten block of Colby cheese under the couch.
Couch. That was the last time we had sex and the start of a quick breakup. So even the dick/mouth, you think you can, you know, can't be tasty AF.
You guys, I have to, like, a week.
A week with no shower.
Of sweating. Oh. A week of having sex, like, and not showering. Like, the bacteria.
Dude, I don't even, I mean, I wash to be clean. Certainly, but I am a shower every day person, especially during the quarantine, because it is the only place that I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Warm water running over me, please.
Literally. I'm like, it's the one place where I'm like,
I feel blend in.
I feel very grateful. I'm like, dude, a hot shower is a luxury.
Yes.
I hashtag blessed. Like,
why? There is no better feeling. And you guys know I like camping. Like, I love going camping. I think it's fun, like, being outdoors.
But that first
and
real that shower.
Oh, but when you get home and you step into the shower after, like, being in the wilderness for, like, 2 days. Oh, my God. It is the best feeling of all time. I cannot imagine just why would you decide not to shower for a week.
Dude, people in the Middle Ages died for you to have this fucking luxury of bathing every day. Like, don't disrespect your ancestors.
That's
like that.
Right. True. Oh, Lord.
Oh, like, God.
Geez,
I'm sorry. Chewing at night?
No.
Come on. When you're sleeping, you have chewing. I would have, first of all, I don't know how you could have ever dated somebody who did. Mm-hmm. That is a habit that I can't.
Mm. Well, can't. When you date somebody and you find something, there is a switch that hits that one day, that one spark that all of a sudden that fucking switch turns off and you cannot, like, get freaky with them ever again because you're like, It's the straw that broke the camel's back. You're like, I accept this. I accept the floss thingies. That's not yes. right. But mm-hmm. like, if you were to add weeks without showering
no.
and chew to it, I literally, I'm like,
your tongue could never be no, clean enough. No. If you are chewing,
you don't brush your teeth.
You don't wash your ace.
You don't clean your dick after sex. I yeah.
That's gross.
This
That's
is the so most gross. Disgusting human ever in existence. Oh I can't.
You have to like look. Oh God,
it, dude.
I feel like I should have put a trigger warning in front of that.
I know. I absolutely. Feel absolutely. Yeah. No. Oh my God. Literally. Like your life is like at this level. But dude, wherever you are, I promise you, if you showered every day, you'd be like, holy shit. My mood is improved.
Everything.
Cleanliness is happiness.
People
bruh.
Don't like inch away from me in the line at the grocery store.
Oh, I
like
know.
You look, when you're living in it, I imagine you're just like, it's not that bad. But like other people, you have to smell. Like there is yeah. just no way you
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
When
there's
my
no
deodorant
way.
Fails just one day. I'm
dude,
like,
or when
fuck.
You're a little less than fresh down there for oh, whatever
oh,
reason,
God, yeah.
I smell it immediately.
For,
like,
oh my
it.
God,
nose blindness is.
If you work out and then like you go take a shower and you've been like sweating mm-hmm. in that region for a period of time, like
yes.
a week of that. No.
A week?
My
no.
Guy.
No.
No. Absolutely not. No. I'm appalled and upset.
My God, and she put her fucking mouth on it. How long do you boil your mouth after that? Like literally, I would take the teapot.
You gotta get
you
a
get
new
peroxide,
mouth. You gotta get a new mouth.
Swish.
After that, like you gotta throw your old mouth away. Oh, terrible.
Fuck okay. it. That's hilarious.
Okay. Back in the summer of 2012, I had been single and not even kissed another person for 4 years since I had broken up with my college girlfriend. 4 years to not kiss somebody is a very long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very long time. I was living in Worcester, Massachusetts. Don't come for me. I know that people in that area.
Worcestershire?
Yeah, it's spelled like Worcester, but that's Worcester, but it's not that. It's Worcester, whatever. Massachusetts for grad school and had been on and off OkCupid trying to meet someone. As luck would have it, I met a nice girl who I connected with in messages and we went back and forth for about a week before she suggested we go get a drink in Providence about an hour away. I wasn't doing anything particularly interesting by myself that night, so I hopped in the car and drove down the highway to meet her at a hookah bar. Walking in, she was a lot different than her photos suggested, but as luck would have it, I'm super into her body type, so it really didn't matter. And we had stimulating conversation about old, bad movies. It was getting late, and I had to work in the morning, but she suggested we go back to her place in Warwick, another 20 minutes away, and watch a movie, and I agreed. I didn't realize at the time that we weren't actually going to be watching the movie. Oh,
yeah,
sweet honey.
No. Oh, darling.
He hadn't kissed somebody for 4 years. So no. He was like, a movie sounds good. You know,
I want to see a movie.
Yeah. I follow her back to her place and we get to her apartment, which has a parking lot, but it's for residents only. So she takes me to the guest parking lot a quarter of a mile away, which why is the guest parking lot so
no,
far away?
Shit. Yeah, that's
why?
Terrible.
I park and we head upstairs. I put on the movie, The House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price, and we start to watch. In the middle of the film, we start making out, and before I know it, we are naked in her bed, and I'm on top of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds
this
right.
This actually sounds like a good date so far. Yeah. I don't know what's happening.
So far, so good. She stops me and says, we aren't having sex tonight. We can do everything but that, and I'm a squirter. So, and I'm a squirter. Just
hey,
throwing that
oh,
in.
Hey. Okay. All right.
Not trying
just
to have a mess tonight.
Disclosing immediately. So I start to finger her and she's telling the God's honest truth about squirting all over my hand.
Oh, damn. Hey.
Finally, she pushes me off of her and tells me it's my turn. In my mind, it is the culmination of 4 years without another person other than my doctor touching my junk. So I am excited beyond compare.
So yes. She touched it and he came.
He squirted. He's like, I'm a squirter too.
She goes down and starts to give me a hand job. A very dry hand job.
Ooh.
There is not a drop of lubrication anywhere. Mm. No KY, no Astroglide, no spit, not even a courtesy lick. It is like she is trying to start a fire with my dick skin. Or rip it off at the base.
Dude, it's the same with us, though. Have you ever been dry and somebody goes in to, like, finger you? It's like...
Oh, we've had a very upsetting story about it.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of friction.
Start a fire. Know? That is the most understandable statement so far.
Yes.
You can just picture that imagery for sure. It is so painful that what must have been 5 minutes of tugging felt like 5 hours. Worst still was that she was into ball play and took my and took my testicles in her hand and crushed them like the claw in a skill crane at the arcade.
Oh. And poor baby, he's like, you know what I mean? Like
use your words though.
Exactly. That's what I was gonna say. He's like 4 years without out of practice. Mm-hmm. It's probably. Yeah.
He's like, is this what it felt like before? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh. I saw my life flash before my eyes that night and knew I would have to get out before I was neutered. I muttered something about getting a work emergency call and put on my clothes as quickly as I can for someone who is very bruised. I walk the agonizing quarter mile back to my car before I realize I haven't washed my hands, still sticky with squirt. and have no hand sanitizer to use before I touch my wheel. What I do have, however, is a bottle of bourbon, which I had gotten from the liquor store that afternoon. And alcohol is cleansing. So I pour out a shot on my hand. And for my homies, a.k.a. my now dead testicles. And get into my car. The GPS must have been... in on the joke that was my life that night, because instead of choosing highway roads for the fastest route back to Worcester from Rhode Island, it sent me on back country routes all the way to Massachusetts. It's 2 a.m. and I have to work at 8 and the roads are pitch black and with very sharp corners, which I wince at whenever I go around them. At one point, I make a wrong turn and back into a road sign, which my car still has scars from.
Oh my God. What a night.
I finally make it to the highway at 3 a.m. and I just gun the engine and speed home on an empty interstate until I am pulled over by highway patrol.
Of course. And is smelling of like, bourbon. Yes.
This is the point I freak out because of two things. I smell like booze, and with the way my balls feel, there's no way I'd be able to walk straight. seeing my future of failing a field sobriety test while sober as a bird and calculating how long it would take to get through all the red tape, God finally decided that the joke was over, and I thankfully received just a warning and was able to drive home.
Nice.
I skipped work the next day to go to the hospital.
Oh my God.
Other than some bruising, there was no serious damage.
Dude.
Wow.
It was so bad that he thought, like, I have to go to the hospital.
Holy shit.
Those are some really bad hand job skills.
Oh.
Ow.
Like, how? How have you gotten this far in life? Like, it's a first date. You're giving a hand job. I imagine you've done it before. Like, how have you not gotten any complaints?
She must have had somebody that was like, crush it. Squeeze the life
step
out of
on
it.
Because
step on it. Everybody's like a little bit different. And some people like it rough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So her last, you know, partner must have been like, beat the hell out of it.
Oh,
you know?
Damn.
And this guy's like, oh my God,
I'm broken now.
I don't like it this way. This way doesn't feel good to me.
That's why we got to use our words.
You got to use your words.
Normalize communicating during sex. If something doesn't feel good, don't just deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not fun for anybody, honestly. Because that's not fun for the person doing it either.
Yeah. No, they want to make what you feel good.
She doesn't want to rip your dick off. Okay.
Well, you know. Who knows?
Or maybe. I don't know.
Okay. So I got this one from Reddit. It might be a creepypasta, but it's so fucking wild that it's worth it to me. Okay. I have a friend of mine, let's call him John, goes on a first date with this girl who we can call Sally. John drives over to Sally's house, introduces himself, and drives her to the restaurant of her choice, a sit-down Mexican place. John and Sally are really hitting it off over dinner and are both having a great time. Once the meal is done, John can tell his stomach is not too happy with what he just ate, but he ignores it and continues on with the night. Not wanting to end the night there, John asks Sally what she would like to do, and she suggests they go to the carnival that was in town.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like there's toilets available very easily at a, at a carnival.
I feel like we've been here before. We've been at carnivals. I recall the hot chocolate story. Do you remember that one where they went to a Christmas carnival?
But she, like, they had like, what, like 8 cups of like milk chocolate?
Heavy cream hot chocolate. That the guy that
like shit in the beach?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. He left tracks in the sand. It was just like shit tracks.
Oh my God.
Oh, great. Okay.
They both hop back in John's car and head off to the carnival a few minutes away. As they are driving, John's stomach starts to get more upset.
Of course it does.
It's all in his head. He continues on his wonderful conversation with Sally. As they get out of the car, though, John gets hit with the 5-minute warning.
Uh-oh.
When you know you have five minutes or less to get to a toilet.
Everyone knows that feeling.
Things are going to get messy fast. John panicked because he didn't want to run to the bathroom or porta potty for what could be a while and have his date wait on him. If he did that, she would definitely know he was taking a dump, and he didn't think that would be romantic.
But you know what's less romantic is shit in your pants.
The alternative is worse. My guy.
Some people think you're like, you can muscle through it. Because I've been in situations where I'm like, I don't want to poop right now. I'm like busy, or I know I'm going to be home later. And like, you can muscle it out. And then like,
But everyone knows that feeling when it's like, oh, no.
This is not that feeling.
If you're on the 5-minute warning, like there is like you need to shit.
You're too far gone.
Yes. Almost lost in thought over what to do in this predicament, Sally snaps John back to the date by asking if they could ride some rides together.
Oh, honey. Oh no. Girl. You're going to be stuck at the top of the Ferris wheel, huh? Oh, God. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Without thinking, he agrees, and they head off to buy the tickets. As they finish buying those tickets, John can't see any bathroom nearby. But Sally turns to John and tells them they should ride this really exciting ride they were next to. This particular ride is shaped like a Ferris wheel, but each cage straps two people completely in.
No.
And the
no.
individual cages
no.
flip
no.
the zipper.
No.
It's
no.
the zipper. The zipper no. was my favorite ride no. as a kid. That's what this is. They're no. cages that flip.
It's going to be a cage of shit.
Oh, no, no.
No.
No, Christina. No. Why? Why would you do this?
Dread has set in. There's no turning back at this point, and the carnival ride worker locks them into their seats. From the moment the door locked shut, John knew.
No,
he was screwed.
I need out. Why? I need out. I need out. I need out.
Felt it start to come
no,
out.
No, 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 no,
no. It's already started. The ride starts spinning around, and the flipping started as John felt the diarrhea slowly ooze out of the bottom of his khaki shorts. No. The diarrhea then started to fling all over the cage and splattered all over Sally and John.
I'm broken.
What felt like an eternity later, the ride stopped. Sally was stunned, speechless,
and then there had been vomit.
No, covered in her date's excrement. Cassie's gonna throw up. Like Cassie is gonna throw up right now.
John, equally covered, without saying a word, unfastened himself from the ride, opened the cage door, and speed walked his way back to his car, where he drove away, leaving Sally all alone in that forsaken carnival ride with no way to get home but to just sit there covered in another person's crap.
Also, Sally, sweet baby angel, I'm so sorry for you, but also you know that some 16-year-old that is making $6.25 an hour is having to go into that. They had to shut the ride down.
Now the ride is done.
The ride is shut down while they clean it.
Get a hose.
Oh my god. I'm never, anytime I ever get on a carnival ride, I'm never gonna not think about that, because you could never clean it well enough.
No.
For me to ever sit in it.
Is it in my mouth?
It was probably like, in Sally's mouth. Oh, it was probably in her mouth. Like, come on. She's screaming, having a good time. She's like, what's that? Oh my god. Smells like shit in here.
Oh Oh my God.
Oh, man. Oh, can't believe he just left her there.
Yeah. He's just like, you know what? And then he moved.
Yep.
He
must
have. He changed his name. Moved,
changed his name. A whole nine Learned yards.
A whole new language. Changed countries. He's like, I'm out. I'm fucking.
You expat after something like that for sure. At least. Yeah.
Oh my God. That was horrifying.
Oh my God.
I'm upset.
Yeah. Oh. Like his stomach.
Oh.
Okay. Are you ready for my tainted love story?
Yes.
All right. So you've guessed what I'm going to do, haven't you, Keegan? Did you guys guess yet?
Oh, I don't know because I thought you were going to do Versace.
Versace.
Yeah.
I am not. I'm doing the death of Maurizio Gucci.
Okay.
And I only know about this because Lady Gaga and Adam Driver are doing a movie currently. Oh,
I did see that.
About this story.
Adam Driver. Oh, I saw her post about it. In my head, you know what just happened? You said Adam Driver. My head went Adam Levine. And I was like, can he act? Like, what's happening?
Okay. Please, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's March 27th, 1995. And Maurizio Gucci is heading to work. He's on his way into his offices and he doesn't see. This guy comes out of nowhere and shoots him in the head
while
he's walking to the office.
Wow.
He doesn't expect the doorman to be there. So he turns and he shoots the doorman as well in the arm. But the doorman does not die. And so he gets a really good description of the person who did this. So Milan is in shock, right? This is a Gucci. This is Maurizio Gucci. He is the grandson of Gucciano Gucci, who is the originator of Gucci, the brand.
Gucciano,
right?
Gucci, okay, what a name.
Thank you.
No, OG.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a double G right there, mm-hmm. if I ever saw one. So he had grown up. He is the son of Rodolfo. Rodolfo Gucci and Aldo Gucci are the sons of Gucciano, right? So this is like the family tree.
Okay.
All right. And Rodolfo has his son, which is Maurizio, and Aldo has three sons. So, you know, keeping the family line going, right? Mm-hmm. Maurizio is, his mother dies when he's really young. And so he was raised, his dad was a bit of a stickler. He was very like, you know,
strict,
very strict on him, very like, you know, has to be this way,
overprotective.
He's very overprotective, mm-hmm. very domineering personality, right? Okay. And Maurizio, Rodolfo is in charge of the brand from the Milan standpoint, right? So he's running the business from Milan, and Aldo has decided to take the Gucci name and, you know, he wants to expand it. So he moves to New York and he's building the brand through the New York offices. So both of them are a 50-50 ownership in this business, right?
Okay.
So everything is going well. Maurizio is, you know, he grows into the business. He becomes, you know, somebody, he works with his father. He's, you know, building a name for himself within the company and, you know, really like earning his stripes, as it were, you know, to take over hopefully someday this brand, right? Around this time, he's young, in his 20s, and Maurizio meets Patrizia Reggiani. I covered it up. Reggiani. She's a striking beauty, and this is in 1970. Patrizia is from the complete opposite world, right? Like, she did not grow up with wealth. She grew up somewhat poor, single parent home, a totally different single parent home, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, more of a struggled home, not somebody who had nannies and, you know, million-dollar lifestyle,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So Patrizia, though, is a looker, and she knows she's a looker, and she is on a path to find herself, you know, a great, well-bred, eligible bachelor.
Okay.
So she's like, you know, she's looking for that social standing. She wants to move up in the world. And she meets Maurizio at a party and they are instantly attracted to each other. She sweeps Maurizio off his feet. He is smitten kitten with her. She's beautiful. They're beautiful together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all the, you know, they just, the attraction is there.
You know how I feel about Adam Driver. And Adam Driver and Lady Gaga together? Oh. Are you kidding me?
Oh, I can't wait. Ugh, it's going to be amazing. And honestly, I think from the pictures I've seen of Adam Driver, he looks a lot like, they did a good job making him really look a lot like Maurizio. Ooh,
yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's going to be, because she looks like Lady Gaga.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be
easy. They're Italian, right? So both It's a good fit.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, yeah. Yes. Oh, God, yeah, he does look like Adam Driver.
It's a good fit.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's good casting.
So, ooh, I like it.
After only their second date, he asks her to be married. He's like,
okay, is too fast food, my friend. That is too fast food. You needed your good friend Keegan there to be like, hey, maybe pump the brakes slightly. Like, two dates... You don't know this person well enough. You just simply don't. You don't know if they, you know, don't wash their shit for a full week.
Like, that's right.
You don't know.
Are you doing chew at night?
Yeah.
While you're sleeping?
Yeah. You don't know. You don't know. Two dates? Oh, you don't know because they're still hiding. They're hiding themselves from you at that point.
What if they leave their floss all over the house? You don't know.
You're like, deal breaker. I'm out of here. You know, like, you don't know.
Right.
Pops as well. Rodolfo is like, nah, son, this is not the one.
And you have a lot of money to protect. Like,
You can't be marrying that's someone that him.
Fast. Yeah.
He's like, I'm not saying she's a gold digger, but.
But.
And that was Rodolfo's end of the word on it. He was like, I'm not having it. This is ridiculous. You've known her for all of 3 seconds. I can't believe you're going to marry this woman, you know, out of nowhere.
And I would find that suspicious. Like, I really would, because look, maybe. I'm not saying it never works, because there's always people who are like, my grandparents met and got married the same day and they were married 45 years. And I'm like, great, good for you. But like,
it's the exception. It's not the rule.
It's the exception. And also just like, even that desire, I cannot see myself wanting to do that. I'm like, there's a lack of critical thinking involved. Like, well, to just be like, after 2 days, let's get
married. I would be like, yes, please sign me up for this lovely marriage that I'm about to have to the richest person I've ever met in my life.
Boy.
Yeah. But see, if I was in Rodolfo's shoes, I obviously would have reservations as well. But knowing a parent-child relationship, whenever my parents strongly disapproved of something,
it you made can't tell me what to do, Dad.
And you can't tell me what to do is my motto. Like,
yeah,
that's, same. I'm so like about that. So. He would have been better served being like, okay, if that's what you want, but let me get a prenup together immediately, if not sooner. An ironclad prenup.
Yeah, Rodolfo was not having it. He was not having it, but you're absolutely right. This is the way. I mean, he's been domineering dad his entire life. He's in his young 20s. He is like, finally, like, you know what?
This is the time Pops. He's going to put his foot down.
Yeah, this is it. I'm in love. You can't tell me. You can't tell me what to do anymore.
This is why, like, you know, my mom used to always say, like, you always have to, like, pick your battles. Mm-hmm. Because if you are domineering about, like, every single thing, then the child is not going to be able to distinguish between what's important and what's not important.
That's right.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, if you are kind of permissive about the things that don't matter, like dyeing your hair or, like, you know, things like that, then they will know if you're like, hey, actually, no, on this thing. You know, like,
they know it's a big deal.
They know it's a big deal.
Not great for you.
Yeah.
He's just like, well, I'm going to do what I want. And I'm happy. And I'm happy with Patrizia. This is the life I've chosen. Well, they both seem like they're very stubborn people. And Rodolfo is like, fine, but you're not in my
Not in my
world.
House.
Not in my
not
world.
Not in my house.
Right? Ooh, and so they become estranged. Like, they do not. But his Uncle Aldo comes to his rescue, because his Uncle Aldo is absolutely loves Maurizio. He's like, come to New York. You have a place within the business from the New York side, and I will take you under my wing. I'm going to mentor you, and I'm going to make sure that you can.
Sibling dynamics. Love it.
So he does. He moves to New York. He goes to help, you know, his Uncle Aldo. His uncle becomes almost like a you know, surrogate father to him, because he's, you know, doesn't have his father really at all in his life anymore.
Mm-hmm. New York in the 70s.
Girl.
Rich.
Cocaine everywhere. Sequins.
You name it. Aldo sees something, like I said, in Maurizio that he doesn't see in his own sons. And this is, you know, like he's looking at him like, you're the possible leader of Gucci and our Gucci fortune.
And his sons are just like, excuse me.
Right. Like, this tale has everything. Yes.
Well, I know, I'm riveted.
They're just 24 years old, newly married. Maurizio and Patricia are living in New York. And exactly right. They are living it up. Mm. New York is eating them up. Two beautiful Italian lovers who've moved to the city.
Fashion.
Yep.
Parties.
Yes.
Money.
Ugh, they're socialites.
Doing, they're doing so much cocaine on mirrors at this time. I'm seeing a lot of very low-cut cowl necks. Okay. Oh. Yes. Yes.
I disco balls. It's everything, right? It's your dream come true, right?
I can't wait for this party montage in the movie because you know it's going to be a lot of blurry bright lights, and I can't wait. Okay,
a lot of spinning.
Yeah, so much spinning. Okay, Lady Gaga's wardrobe is going to be stunning.
Fire!
Oh my god!
Fucking fire!
Yes. Oof.
So Rodolfo, his father, sees that they're super happy. And at this time, they've now had two children. He has two granddaughters now. And he's just like, you know what? It's time. We've dug our heels in on this. There's no reason. You're clearly in love. You have two children now. This is obviously not just a fling. He comes to New York and he's like, I want to mend fences. He's like, this is my son. I want you back in my life. I've made a mistake. He swallows his pride.
At least he could recognize that. Kudos. Yeah.
He admits he was wrong. And to offer, I guess, penance or an apology of a magnitude that can only be the most elite Gucci way, he offers to buy his son and their family an apartment in New York. And it's not just, you know, like just an apartment in New York. He buys them a luxury Fifth Avenue, nothing but the best for Patrizia apartments.
When am I going to have my Princess Diaries moment? I've been waiting for it my whole life.
Genovia, I'm here.
Hi, I would love to just me. Like, when is someone going to buy me a luxury apartment in New York? When?
Okay. I used to have those moments. This is like,
somebody's going to buy me a luxury trailer at some point.
And I'll take it. You know what I mean?
I feel like, you know this from like being adopted and me not really knowing my real father.
Oh, or girl.
Like, I always thought my real father was, like, whenever I was pissed off, my real father was going to come and he was going to be rich and successful and
my real mom's Madonna. She had sex with Robin Williams. It was a thing.
They kept it under wraps. Once, the world couldn't handle it.
I mean, the number of times that I've dreamt that my mom was Madonna.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's too many. It's too many. And it cannot be possible, I don't think. But this is like, we're talking power couple. Patrizia runs the household. She has success on the brain, right? She's no pushover. Like, she is a powerhouse. She has thoughts. She has ideas. And she works. She's been, you know, Maurizio's like real right hand through this whole entire journey. You know, yes, she manages the household. She manages the funds. This is a dream power couple, right? Like, they are.
Right. I mean, so far, so good.
Yeah.
I know this story is going to take a turn. I mean, we know it takes a turn.
Yeah.
But
it's a tainted love. But, like, so far, I'm like, you know what? She had an opportunity. She's making the most of it.
Yeah. And they seem to
like each other, you know? Like, exactly. Who am I to judge?
Yeah.
And Aldo's sons, of course, as you predicted, are not happy. So there's a lot of like tension between the family. And they're kind of feeling left out, but they don't really, I think Aldo kind of was correct. They don't have the gumption to be the managers of this business. Now, maybe it's because they weren't mentored by their father.
Oh my God.
Like,
are they?
Maurizio was.
Is this Succession?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. Succession's so good.
It's like a whole bunch of people that want opportunity but don't work for it.
Mm.
They just really want daddy's attention.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it takes to get daddy's attention.
Well, Paolo, one of his sons, does try to get daddy's attention. He tries to strike out on his own and he starts his own Paolo Gucci brand, which does not go over well.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it.
So nope, neither I.
And the family is like, nah, you can't be using our name like that, sir.
I have to say, I know it would hurt that your daddy doesn't love you as much as he loves your cousin. I understand that, you know, you need therapy, right? Like, mm-hmm. I get it. But as someone who has never had a lot of money, I'm like, maybe chill. Yeah. Like you have so much money that like you don't have to so opportunities. Work.
If this isn't like your bag, if like obviously like your dad is like, yeah, this is just not for you. He's got the skill for it, but you don't like find your
something
bliss.
Else. And you find can. You have. Yeah. Do you know how many people would love to have that freedom to just be like, oh, I have all
be an
of
artist,
this,
dude.
Yeah, you can do that.
You could be.
You can
an
be
artist.
An artist. Like you can do whatever you want. You can be like, oh, you know what? I'm not good at designing clothes, but I'm good at this other thing, and I have the money to be able to pursue that. Like, dude, literally.
Well, and so this starts the divide within the family, right? Because everything's starting to kind of come to a head because Rodolfo does end up dying in 1983, and Maurizio inherits his father's 50% of the company, and he returns with his family back to Milan. So he is now half, you know, he was. Aldo was his mentor. Now he's his equal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And he's primed for a takeover here. Oh, shit. All right.
Yes, he is. No longer the mentee. He has been set the task. His father was like, you need to turn this company around. And it was his father's dying wishes that he would take full control of the company. Oh, one of the things that had been happening for years is that Gucci had kind of been selling off its name to licensees to make products with the Gucci label on it, right?
Oh my God, so, they trumped it.
But they've been selling off their name for years, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Gucci had built this name for itself. One of the most powerful commodity you have is the name,
your brand, mm-hmm.
right? Your name. And your brand. And so you can be like, yes, make a phone cover with Gucci on it. That sounds great. You know what I mean? You can use my name for these things.
But then you oversaturate it.
That's right.
And you're devaluing your brand at that
and
point.
Mm-hmm. Devaluing was the issue that Maurizio was seeing. He's like, we don't stand for luxury anymore. If everybody can own it, it's not luxury.
Right. You want it to be exclusive.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that was specifically his goal. Aldo's goal was to make the brand billions of dollars. And that's what he did by selling the name. That was where the money was coming from, was from licensees and from they made the money. So there's not a lot of, there is money to be made in exclusivity and a luxury market. However, it isn't the kind of money that you can make by licensing out your name, right? Mm-hmm. So, but Maurizio puts his foot down. He's like, this is it. We are no longer going to be this, you know, watered down version of the Gucci name. We are going to stand for what we always stood for, which was premium luxury goods, premium luxury leather goods. This is who we are. This is what our name should stand for, right?
Yeah.
So this is his goal. And the future of the Gucci brand and name, really, it's, you know, he feels like it's on him to, you know, make sure that this company moves forward in the way that he sees.
Right.
They're living, though, the luxury life that this licensing has created for them, right? They have yachts, homes, cars. I mean, you're talking riches on riches, right? And with these riches come rich problems, because both are incredibly superstitious. Both Maurizio and Patrizia are very, very superstitious. This is a rich people problem.
I was about to say, I'm like, this sounds like some issues that time. I don't have time to fucking have these problems, okay?
Yeah. You got time on your hands.
If you don't have to worry about like paying your bills.
That's right.
I mean, it's the human condition. You're going to find something to worry about. Mm-hmm. And so like, superstition and stuff like that. I mean, I guess. All right.
Well, that's where they land. They get regular advice from a psychic who becomes a close confidant and counselor. Her name is Pina.
Mm. This can't go wrong.
Pina, like, there was a story on the thing that I watched, which was People Investigates.
Oh, I love People
but
Investigates.
But Crimes of Fashion. Was the name of it's brilliant. Yeah. So they were saying that one of the guys was talking about, like, he was like, yeah, he was like, Pina apparently was like, don't have this person fly on a plane to Hong Kong because the plane's gonna crash. I mean, like, stuff like that, like interrupting business stuff.
But did the plane crash though? I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. They didn't say.
Probably not.
But they did not go on that plane. the investigators though, so they're like at this place, right? Investor is coming in to help Maurizio. Maurizio is like, I need to have someone come in and help me because I can't do it all by myself. And I also want to take over the Gucci name and business. Mm-hmm. So he works with this investor to start to buy up
shares
of the company.
Yeah.
So the investor goes to Aldo Sons, and one by one, they start selling off to this investor.
This makes me uncomfortable.
Not realizing that Maurizio is behind it and working with the investor.
Oh.
So it all is very like, I'm going to fuck Maurizio over by selling my share of the company to this random investor.
Not realizing it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not fucking Maurizio over. They're fucking themselves over, and they're helping Maurizio. And it all comes to a boil.
I hate this. Like, yeah. I hate this. Like, I understand it's like, this is business or whatever, but I'm just like, the way my personality is set up, I could not handle the kind of like underhanded, like shady, my anxiety is peaking.
Because at the end of the day, this is still family.
And mm-hmm. yeah, these are interactions.
And eventually,
and you can say it's just business as much as you want, but like these are people that you have relationships with, that you're going to continue to have interactions with. Like, I hate it.
Yeah, it ain't great.
Yeah.
So he is, you know, this is like the family is heartbroken. The family is split now. Aldo is now being pushed out. Everybody. So basically he got his wish. He got his company. But this also leads investigators to think, well, you know, everybody said how great this guy was, but now we're finding out behind the scenes, he's not been this great of a guy. And there's a lot of people who could be behind his murder. Right. Mm-hmm. So now investigators, nothing is really leading them, though, to think that the family was behind his murder, because they have been investigating. And this was like their first, you know, once they found all this information out, this is like their first go to. They're like, there could be something here. He's been pissing people off left and right.
Right.
So, hey, the town of Milan loves him. He's an icon here and he has many friends, but he also has quite a few enemies, and most of them are family. But there's nothing, again, they can't find anything that would lead
enemies
them.
With money too, which is like,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's still with Patrizia. They're a power couple at this point. Once his, you know, right hand is no longer getting a voice, because this is the other thing that's happening as the power folds into his hands, he's not really looking to Patrizia as right hand anymore. He's like, I got this all by myself. This is all in my hands. So now it's not only is he pushing all of his family away, he's starting to now push his wife away. Mm. One day, Maurizio packs his bags for a short business trip to Florence. Packing his bags, no big deal. He leaves for his business trip the next morning. He gets a little knockety knock on the door, and it's a friend of Maurizio's. And he's like, hey, Patrizia.
No.
Don't want to have to tell you this way.
No.
But Maurizio's gone and he's not coming back.
This motherfucker right here. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Has his motherfucking friend. Can you imagine? Keegan.
Oh,
Anthony packs his bags to go on a business trip. Chris comes over. Hey, Keegan.
The rage.
The audacity.
Could you imagine?
My face is hot.
Look, man, and I wouldn't want to take it out on the friend, but like that would make me want to throw hands for real. Like I would just be like, are you fucking kidding me?
And yeah if you are that motherfucker's friend, why'd you agree to do this for him? Because you know that's like fucking
how much
dirty
money did you get made?
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
Wow.
Your husband's on a business trip.
What a coward. Like, if you want to end your marriage, have a fucking conversation like an adult. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing, too. The company is failing. Their money was from licensing. And
Aldo's just sitting back like,
Yeah.
Okay.
He actually passes away a year after he's ousted from the company. It's sad.
Oh.
Yeah. The company's failing. By 1993, Maurizio is forced out and he has to sell to investors. And with this buyout money, he actually is going to start to invest in casinos. So this is all kind of happening at once. He leaves his wife. He's going to start investing casinos.
So Gucci isn't with Gucci anymore.
No.
At all. Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
It's all investors now.
I also and Tom Ford, love that he's like, who turned license, that bitch around. He's like, licensing is low class, but I'm going to invest in casinos.
Casinos in Switzerland, which great. Are infested with mafia connections, right? So here's another lead for the investigators. Investigators are like, wait, so, okay, family hates him. He skipped out on his wife. He is starting a casino in a big mafia set.
Sounds exhausting for these investigators. And like, I'd just be like, you know what? I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap.
They're just like, yeah. Who, all shoulders. Like, they literally could have been anybody.
In the video, it's them with strings, like literally pinning like, strings to pictures. It's the most hilarious shit. So this is also, too, according to the doorman that got shot, he was like, this was a hit. This was a fucking hit. This is, there's no two ways about it. This isn't like.
But if it was a hit, I feel like if it was a professional, why wouldn't they take out the doorman? Like, why'd they shoot him in the arm?
They did. Well, they did try to take out the doorman, but I think the bullet didn't. Hmm. It didn't do what it.
Just saying, hoped. If you're a professional, maybe give it a second go.
Well, they do look into the mafia business, the connections, and they're like, nothing. Nothing pans out because all of his business, when they look at the numbers, it's all a dead end. It's all turning out legit. Like, nothing is coming up. So now they're just like, okay, well, Patrizia is really the only person that we haven't gone to. And she's the estranged wife. But, you know, and as this is all happening, Maurizio has a new woman in his life, right? So, okay, you have an estranged wife, pissed off now too, because you left the way you did. Mm-hmm. And there's a new woman. Not looking good. Patrizia turns to Pina, her only friend, right? You know, and her psychic friend's connection, right?
Oh, God.
Well, all during this time, Maurizia moves in with Paola. Paola is an old friend of his. They've known each other since they were children.
The Camilla.
It is the Camilla of the story, faux show.
And meanwhile, I'm just seeing the wife just rage.
Just spinning. Rage. It's battles and battles and battles.
Yeah.
And they're going through a divorce. She's been estranged by him. They finally get a divorce. She ends up in the divorce getting $850,000 a year for alimony, $6,000 a month in child support, and millions in assets. So she gets like the furs and the cars and all this stuff. But she's still a woman scorned, right? She's still like, are you fucking kidding me? This motherfucker, I built a life with you. I helped you. I was mm-hmm. your backbone right, for because years.
The thing is, to me, a poor, I can say that like $800,000 a year, like
I can move on. Yeah. Like, very easily.
You can totally move on. However, I do understand that there are hurt feelings in that, like, there are feelings of like, I helped you build this empire.
You betrayed me.
Like, and I helped you build this, and I'm entitled to the business because, like, I helped you build the business. You know what I mean? Like, so I understand that. Me personally, it's a hard out. Like, deuces for $800,000 a year. Yeah. But, like, you know.
Yeah. I would walk away happy. We wouldn't fight anymore. We'd be done. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
You're giving me $6,000 a month for the kids upkeep? Like, we're fine.
16.
Whoa.
A month. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. So no, we're fine.
We'll be okay.
Yeah.
But Maurizio does move in to this beautiful apartment with his new Paola. He's super happy. They're still bitter infighting, though, because they do have kids, so they do connect.
Of course.
And on occasion.
Well, and you ended it like a punk ass.
Yeah. Well, the day after Maurizio's death, Patrizia goes over. She's like, I'm going to have you get the fuck out of this apartment.
Whoa.
She's like,
hi.
She's like, this is mine now. So bye.
Scoozy.
Yeah. Scoozy.
Yes.
Word has been getting around, though, too. So this is like, okay, the odds are stacking up against Patrizia here. The other thing is that word's been getting around that Patrizia has been calling all over town, telling everyone how she wanted him dead. She's talked to her hairdresser. She's talked to Pina. She's talked to all these people. The problem is, at the end of the day, this is all nothing because the investigators have literally nothing.
And how many times have divorcing couples said shit like that about each other? Like, you know, it's not evidence.
In the show, they show Patrizia and they are interviewing her, and she's like, truthfully, she's like, I was relieved when to hear the news.
Well, I mean,
but again, nothing's connecting her until 2 years later. So this goes like dead silent for 2 years, and they get an anonymous call, comes into the police, which reveals a plot involving a doorman, a pizza shop owner, and a gunman, and Pina the psychic.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Pina the psychic was like, you know what? She had gone to her psychic.
Yeah.
Patrizia had gone to the psychic. It was like, I need out of this. This is her story, right? Patrizia denies all of this. She's like, I would never do that. But Pina goes to her doorman, and her doorman's, she was like, hey, I need somebody to take somebody out. And he's like, I know a pizza guy. So he goes, he talks to this pizza guy. Pizza guy's like, I got you, fam. I know a gunman. So this is the most.
What?
How this stayed quiet for pizza? Two fucking what? Years.
Right.
A pizza there's shop
too,
owner.
There's yeah. too many people involved it's for that to have stayed quiet.
2 years. 2 years. So the dude that goes to the police is like, I can get this on tape. So they bug the car. They get the whole story. Everything starts coming down, and they're all singing Patrizia's name as the mastermind. And of course she cries blackmail, because now she's like, well, no, of course I didn't do that. She's like, I wanted him dead, but I would never do this. Pina, the reason this all comes to a head is because of Pina, apparently Pina never pays their full balance.
Oh, come on.
You gotta come you off gotta, the money.
You, yeah. Wait, okay, so Patrizia never pays Pina
no,
or Pina?
No, Pina was like never paid.
So
the
she
full
took
balance.
The money and she then didn't the distribute the money yeah. the way that she was supposed to. Yeah. Guys, yeah. now's yeah. not the time. Like,
boop, 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 boop. Police.
Yeah, they called customer service on that. Yeah. yeah. You, now's not the time to be greedy, you guys. Come on.
No. Yeah. Prosecutors, though, they do find that Patrizia's diary also says on the date of his murder, it has the word paradise on it.
What? The fuck
on the day of his fucking death. Also, in her writing, in her diary, it also says there is no crime money cannot buy.
Are Honey, you kidding me? What's wrong with you?
Stop writing shit down. Why would you put that in writing? Don't put shit in writing.
Fucking amateur.
That's science.
Amateur hour for real.
That's science. You don't put shit in writing.
Exactly.
But on November 3rd, 1998, all parties involved are found guilty.
This shit happened fast.
Yeah.
It's like a couple years.
Yeah. Fast and slow, right? So 2 years of just nobody knows. Shrugs.
But I mean, like, the whole story is taking place in the 90s. It's like, it's not.
That's kind of true. Yeah.
That's, wow. Okay.
Well, it started in the 70s, technically.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. You're right. Sorry.
All the parties are found guilty. Patrizia is sentenced with 29 years. Mm. She, in 2016, is released on good behavior. So she can now be seen walking the streets of Milan with her pet parrot on her shoulder.
Okie dokie.
Amazing.
It's
a lot of rich lady eccentricity going on
it's
there.
It's so extra.
I mean, but also I'm like, man, the justice system is so weird.
Yeah.
Where it can just be like, sometimes you can murder somebody and die for it. And sometimes you can murder somebody and get out in like 15 years. You right. know, like, what? Okay.
How much Shit's money wild. You got and what color's your skin?
Ooh, yeah. Isn't that the truth?
That's going to determine a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a great
that
story.
That was really good.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, I didn't know it either. I actually, the only reason I found out about it was like, because they were doing this and Lady Gaga had posted pictures of her and
and they look great.
So good. Adam Driver. And they do. They look so good. And I was like, oh, I don't know anything about this story. That's kind of weird. And so it was like, and then it was like, oh, murder of. And I was like, oh, I need to know something.
Was
I'm going to have to get into that.
Oh, I love that.
Now I can't wait for this fucking movie to come out.
Oh, God. We're going to have to go see it together if movie theaters ever reopen.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, what are you guys watching this week?
Man, I really have not had a lot of time to watch anything new this week. I've gone back to watching people do their makeup on YouTube because it just makes me feel comforted that like maybe someday
you'll be able to do that too.
I'll have a reason to put my makeup on to go do something. But I also did start the third season of Killing Eve, and that show's just, we've talked about it on this podcast before, phenomenal. It's so good. Can't recommend it enough unless you're very squeamish because there are some pretty brutal murders that take place. But yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Sorry. Also, last night I was watching YouTube, you know, and a trailer started and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. And then it progressively got scarier and scarier. Like the mood, I was like, the mood of this is kind of weird. And then it like kept getting scarier and scarier.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this might be the most unsettling surprise trailer I've ever encountered.
What's it for?
It's for a TV show called Them on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I don't know about this.
I was like, because I wasn't expecting it. And the trailer started and I was like, oh, this is kind of like nice. It's like a 1950s like black suburban family. And I'm this is kind of cute. And then it like got so dark. And I was like, whoa. Oh my God. So,
oh my gosh.
I didn't send it in our group chat. I thought about it, but then I was like, I'm not going to send that in Cassie. I'm not going to introduce that into Cassie's world.
I'd appreciate you not.
I didn't send it. But if you want to, now you've been warned.
What about you, Cass?
That sounds frightening. I actually started Bling Empire. Mm-hmm. I have a thing in my life where when things are starting to take a turn for the good for me, I enjoy watching reality bullshit drama.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's where my head was. I was like, everybody's been talking about it. It's brilliant. And I recommend it. If you like reality, it's fun. There is a couple on there that I'm like, oh man, these guys need to break up immediately. Ooh. If not sooner.
I love watching.
The fun thing though is seeing two people I know from the hair industry fairly well on it, and I'm just like, oh my God, it's so weird to see people. And you're like, also too, one of them I've actually seen shoot reality TV before, and I'm like, it's just, it was hard to, it was weird. It was very weird.
Nice. And I had to watch scary movies this week for Eric's birthday. Mm. So he made me watch Dr. Sleep, which put me to sleep. Oh, that movie is long as fuck. So I slept through the middle of it. But also Midsommar, which
I actually really love. I love that movie. It's polarizing. Some people really don't like it. It is another one that
it's a mind fuck, right?
It's a bit of a mind fuck, and also what I was not expecting. I was expecting it to be a mind fuck. I saw it in theaters. I was not expecting it to be as gory as it is. So, warning if that's not your thing.
Yeah, it gets really intense, like
real fast, fast. Yeah. So just,
but yeah, I'm not gonna watch that one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting story about like empathy and grief and cults and
toxic relationships.
I was like, why do I think this is a happy ending? Because it's not.
But I didn't think it was a happy ending. I was just like, oh, geez.
But I also have been binging. YouTube has a series, a Netflix series called I Like to Watch with Trixie Mattel and Katya.
Oh.
And they review shows like Queen's Gambit and Great British Baking Show.
Amazing.
And they reviewed this show called Glow Up, which is a makeup competition.
Yes.
I started crying. I was listening to it in my earphones. I was crying. Eric comes running out of the room. He's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I have to show this to you. You guys will not be able. I was losing it. It's the best. So I can't recommend that enough. Also watched a documentary called The Battered Bastards of Baseball.
Ooh.
I'm not a sports person, but this documentary has sports. Everything. If you liked the movie Major League, it kind of seems like the true life story of Major League.
Wait,
and it has Kurt Russell in
it. I watched it. It's so fucking good.
It's so good. Tears.
So good.
Yeah.
It is so fucking good.
It's so good. It was a feel-good romp.
Yes.
I loved it. So
It was really underdog story.
Yes. I love that. Yeah.
I like sports stories, but.
Yeah, and I really don't, but that kind of underdog kind of thing.
It was great.
And I love Kurt Russell.
Oh, the best, man.
He's the best.
Ugh.
Well, so if you good. Have something that we should watch, or you have a story, or you just want to reach out, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. Also, every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. PST, find us on Stereo. You can download the app. It's completely free. Follow us. It's MWD_XINA. MWD_Keegan and MWD_Cassie. And that's with an I, not an IE. Find us, follow us. We'd love to hear from you guys. And we'll see you next time.
Cheers.